Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Scarlett.
And I'm Mim.
Welcome back to Style of Substance, the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And this week, we have got a little bit of a topic which is close to our hearts, to be honest. To be honest, you can't work in fashion and not have pay an area of contention, really. So we thought, after having done two episodes of our careers in fashion and really talk about the ins and outs and why we ultimately left the industry, we thought it would be a perfect topic to continue on that discussion by delving into like the issues of pay within the industry. And obviously it's going to be quite specific to the UK because we're in the UK, but yeah. It's really like,
I have some worldwide statistics.
Yeah. So cool.
So for those of you who don't know, we're going to cut to the chase. Pay in fashion is notoriously bad.
Yeah.
It is notoriously bad until you become the head of a department or a creative director or like the top dog. But I would say it is like a grossly underpaid profession.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we're starting there. So do you want to say what your entry pay was in fashion?
I started in retail on the shop floor, and obviously that was paid by the hour. So in terms of salary, I can't remember what I would have taken home annually, if I'm quite honest. I think probably at the time it was like £8 an hour or something.
And compared to, like, if you got a job in Tesco, would it be too dissimilar?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it would have been similar at the time.
And this is, like, you're working in a more, like, I'm not saying that to discredit Tesco's. I'm saying it because more was expected of you as a shop. Or are you talking back in the day? Are you talking RI?
No, I'm not talking about.
Okay. So this is a specialist consumer market where you're expected to know a bit more than what all other eggs on. It's true.
Yeah, but I will say that I think even within retail, I think that salaries probably could have been lower than what I was expecting, depending on, bearing in mind, my pay was in a luxury department store for a luxury brand. So the pay wasn't amazing. And also we had to factor in the commission structure as well, so that factored into it, and then just like the shift pattern, because it could be quite, so when you take all that into account, do I feel like I was getting paid in a way that was livable, that I could like enjoy life and live off it? No. It wouldn't have been any sort of pay that I could permanently live off of.
So I think my entry wage was 19,000.
Okay. Yeah. That
bearing
sounds...
in mind, I had worked for this company for free for at least, I'd say, like a total of about a year. And I think they added on a grand because they already knew I was good. Genuine, like I'm like
£1,000.
I think the starting thing would have been probably like 18. I think it was just below. It was like seven. Like, you know, when it works out and it just reduces it, so it equals in like 12. I think it was like 17, like 9, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think mine was like 18, 9, whatever.
Okay.
And that was like the pleasure for me, having like proven myself.
Wow, because after tax, that would have been like £800 extra spread across 12 months.
I mean, it didn't make a difference to my life one bit.
Yeah.
but it felt like obviously like when at A, like it's my first job. I don't even know what, and I think this is the thing, I don't know what the entry level of any job is at this point. So you kind of assume everyone's starting on the same foot, and because also, I mean, I don't really talk salary as much with my friends. So you're not going in and be like, cool, I'm earning this. So you don't know that maybe your friend who works in finance is going in on a graduate scheme straight away at 25. You don't know that that's an option. And like, oh, but I got a degree too. And in this real special area, whereas you got like an English degree and now you're doing finance.
Yeah, I think that there's a thing. It's actually quite apt because I recently saw a TikTok and someone mentioned about pay shame, and you're more open to talk about pay once you earn a decent amount of pay. Then when you earn nothing, you are going to keep quiet about it because it is, it does kind of bring you personal shame. Like the last thing you want is that you're earning 18 grand a year and you talk to your friend about how much they're earning and they're earning 5 grand more than you. And that might not sound like a massive, massive amount, but when you are earning not a lot, that is a lot of money. I remember thinking, I remember, when I was working department stores and I had a friend who was earning almost 30 grand. I remember thinking, must be nice. Oh my God, you're so lucky.
Yeah, it's so true. And also like when you are young, I do think like, you know, it is going to take a while for you to get your foot in the door. And I'm like, I am a big believer that you also like, you do need to, you can't just walk into a job and expect it to be a really big salary. However, I was living at home. My parents live like in the outskirts of London. So I was able to commute in and live at home and like be able to go out and socialize, albeit not loads. But like, I don't think I could have afforded to rent in London and enjoy my life. Like it's one or the other. And yeah, and I think it took me a really long time for that salary to change. And I think when it did, I think it probably only changed to like 21. Like, and I was like, well, I remember, so when I was younger, my goal was my salary to be my age. Like that, and that,
when you say younger, how old are we talking?
But as in like starting out, and I was like, if my salary can equal my age.
Oh, I see.
It's like coming out of university, this like, so this is what I mean. Like, so I probably was like 21, 22 around this time, and I'm on like 19. I was like, so if I was earning like 22, like I feel really proud of myself. And it took me a while to be earning my age, if not more.
Which
isn't much. If you're 23 and you're earning 23, you shouldn't really be that excited by that.
It's not that.
It's not life-changing. But that's how bleak it was.
And even when I first moved into the office, I was on 23 and I was 20s.
And you'd lied about and your...
I lied about my salary. And I think I was 25 or 26 when I got that job. So it That's wasn't my age.
You're not earning, like, it took me a really long time to like surpass. Like, I remember the first time I did it because my dad knew that that was a goal of mine. He's like, age.
That's such a funny like metric to
because I think also in my head I was like, well, if I'm 50 and I'm earning that, but also I think in fashion it just felt so far off. But also I was naive, I guess, to like the cost of things, whereas like now, unfortunately, I think the average wage is really low. It's like I think it's 25 the average wage in this country.
No, it's it is more than that, but it's only like 31 32.
Okay,
but like, I mean, still, that's not,
but considering that, like, god, this
inflation is at 10%.
First of all, I live in a in an area where everyone seems to be a millionaire. So where are then all the people countering that? One, and then also I know, like, I work at a company where most of the people are earning more than that. And it's like,
so there's there's a lot of people
discrepancy
who is earning a lot less in like the retail sector, which is a massive,
probably the fashion industry,
because like the UK is service industry based, and a lot of it is retail sector and service work in that space. So these wages that we see in fashion has a lot to has a lot to account for when it comes to like the average earning of people in this country.
Yeah. And so basically, now the minimum salary that I found is 20 to enter fashion.
Still incredibly low.
But
because we're talking about
it's not that long ago.
10 years ago.
Not quite.
But I graduated nearly, in 2014. It's 2023.
I graduated a year after that.
After me? No, same year.
No, because we both did 4 years.
Did you do four years?
I did a 4-year degree and a foundation year.
You graduated after me?
Yeah.
I didn't even clock onto that. Yeah. Okay.
But also, people make fun of me. I don't know things by years, so.
Oh, I thought you, of all people, do things by years. Oh, okay.
But so it's sort of like 7-8 years, maybe a bit more. But I would say the average entry is maybe about 25 is what I saw.
Or outside of fashion?
No. Within like for fashion, the minimum minimum is 20.
Okay.
But like entry, it should be about 25. But I would say that's very good from my experience. But obviously inflation on those.
I think when you factor in the fact that when we were working those wages, we knew they were bad.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to be like, what is good?
Yeah.
Plus the rate of inflation for however many years.
True, true. We should have been going in on 25.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I think it's good.
Yeah. You're going to be one of those like old people who's like, well, you don't know how good you've got it.
No, I do. I was working. You should be grateful for this.
I was on £2 a day when I was your age.
You should be grateful. Yeah. Mid-tier.
Okay.
32.
What's mid-tier?
The median salary in fashion is 32.
32, you can live off it.
But like, considering there will be people on the 100Ks, and that is 32.
And also when you consider how many levels of middle management and middle roles
that have to go in between 25.
How much work are you doing for 32 grand? It could be a lot of work. What I will say is I think it depends on the nationality of the brand that you work for. I believe and I would expect that US brands would pay a bit better.
US has a much better average.
But even within the UK, like if it's a US brand here,
true.
I would expect that they're, I mean, marginally, but overall they pay better.
And then... basically, I was going to run through, there's a lot of different departments in fashion, and I feel like I quite warpedly always just talk about design. So I wanted to run through that there's a plethora of departments and then kind of talk about where, if you're about that money, what industry or what,
department you should be in. Yes. Okay.
So stylist, we have stylist, designer, buyer, PR, merch/marketing, products, so production, if you're a seamstress, freelancer, garment tech, there's quite a few different things you could do. So if you want to follow money, you go in PR.
Oh, but no, but garment tech is a good one. It's not.
Not until you become a top dog. Like a garment tech can be, so I've also got then like, what an entry level versus then what like the top pay is in a few sectors, and garment tech is the lowest.
Oh, that's sad, because I would have thought that you're
the one who's got the knowledge,
and I would have thought you, because it's so specialized, if you take it into a different industry, but there it is, it's like if you can take it into like car manufacturing, you're a materials technologist, you would be earning a good amount of money.
I nearly did that.
I know you did.
I know, that would have been great.
Well, what are you doing?
There's always time.
And some of the others, remind me again.
Okay, so I've got four where we've got an entry level and then like your top salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a garment tech, entry is 19.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
And then if you're the head garment tech, it's 88.
Oh, well, then that's good.
Okay. Designer.
Mm-hmm.
Design assistant, about 22.
Okay, that's what you were.
head of design, 143.
Okay. Yeah.
So like my biggest issue when I was working there was like, when does it jump? When does it jump? I had already jumped like, I think two levels by one point, and I was like not even on 30. And I was like, there's only two more levels.
Yeah.
How do I get up 100 grand or 50, 60 grand in two jumps?
I think a lot of that is when you're the designer, you become the face of the brand. Mm. You're more outwardly facing, and therefore you're going to take a lot of the heat for,
yeah,
I don't know, just what you put out there. You know, you might not own the brand, but you own the designs. And so you get paid for risk. I think in a lot of these like top level bands, you get paid for putting your neck out.
True. And I guess that's also true of any senior job.
Yeah.
That like, we all love to be like, oh, what do they even do? But like, we also all sit there with the privilege when we're earning like 30K to be like, it's not my problem. Like, if you do something wrong or something goes wrong,
oh, yeah,
ultimately, like, it's not on my head.
Yeah.
Like,
you can sleep easy at night. Yeah.
So a merchandiser entry is 21, and if you're the director, is 110.
Yeah.
And then a buyer is 21 to be a BAA, and then if you're the head of design or director of buying.
Yeah.
Is again like 105, 110.
Yeah.
So they're all kind of similar other than the garment tech one, which I thought was kind of surprising, because actually without that knowledge on how to do that.
But a lot of this is outsourced. True. A lot of that knowledge is, you know, over in like China, Bangladesh, all of that. And people
Or your factory just kind of does it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. There's something else I wanted to talk about is the gender pay gap in fashion.
Okay, yeah.
So would you argue that it's a very female industry?
100%. From the shop floor to the C-suite, most are women.
Yeah, I would agree. Mm-hmm. My experience is, yeah, of course there are men dotted about, but it's a very female-dominated industry.
Is this why the pay is so low?
So, despite it being a female-dominated industry, there is still a huge issue with a gender pay gap.
Really?
So, in 2018, Missguided announced that they had 78% of their workforce were women.
Okay.
Of that four.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So what's that? 22% men?
Yeah.
For bonuses that year, 60% of the men got a bonus.
Okay.
40% of the women did.
Okay.
But then there's an argument, I guess, that there's more women. But still.
No, but it's a number of women.
Yeah. And there is a 46% gender pay gap.
So hold on. Is it because...
Which is like abnormal. So I was... Forgive me if this sounds real. I was trying to figure out what that percent means.
Mm.
And from my understanding, the higher it is, the worse it is.
Yeah, so because there's a greater gap.
So that means like basically on average men are earning 50% or 46%. Yeah.
So if a woman earns a pound
for
then a man will earn a pound 50 or whatever, 40 or whatever the percentage is. Yeah. Is it because that men hold higher ranking positions in the company?
Yeah.
And it's not including the CEOs because they own...
Yeah, I'm guessing it doesn't include that, but maybe it does. But basically, it is that women are all in the lower paid roles.
That is ridiculous because they don't have any stores. So it's not like it's shop floor versus office, and shop floor workers don't tend to get bonuses. But it is industry, not even industry standard. It is just a standard across kind of corporate white collar roles, let's say professional roles, that you get an annual bonus. It might not be a lot of money, but annual bonuses are a thing. And I would have thought that because most of these people are working in the office, you know, everyone would be getting a bonus.
So I meant like, I don't know many other business models. Yeah. But I would say if you're a business that offers a bonus, in my opinion, that should be across all staff. Mm. But I'm assuming that there are some businesses where that only happens in like certain, like in a level and above. Right? So maybe your entry level person doesn't get a bonus, and maybe you've got to be like management and above to qualify for a bonus. Is what I'm thinking
could potentially be
the thing. Mm-hmm. And that shows that discrepancy. However, that's not just the case for Misguided.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Millen the same year had a 49% gender pay gap.
That's massive. Karen Millen, I mean, women are keeping that brand alive.
Yep. Burberry, 26%. And they, again,
and
said
this is like for like roles, I'm assuming, when I see these figures.
Yeah. And that's what that was essentially meaning as well, is that people are earning more, or like on average, they are earning more. And sometimes you can't always do a like for like. And these companies are also clever. They know in this day and age, hopefully, in the midst of it.
Like, they have the data.
But like, there might be a tweak in a job title or something like that, I'm sure, to try and like have a disparity.
Mm.
But they were saying there's fewer women in senior positions.
Mm.
And it is a bizarre thing that most of the famous fashion designers are male. But I would say I can count on one hand the number of male designers I came across in my time in fashion. So how is that?
It's still very much a female-dominated industry with women taking the majority of the roles. Like
across the board. Like I'm not talking design. Like I'm talking like everything.
Yeah, same. I'm shocked.
So how on earth is there some dude in a tie walking in and becoming like the head of buying if he hasn't done his like years... Because, like, there aren't men doing those roles.
Not really. It's not
so who comes in and does that?
I think it could be, obviously, there is the role of the company itself to ensure that they're enforcing fairer pay across people in roles. But then does it speak to the issue of women not advocating for themselves enough when you come into pay negotiations?
Potentially. So my boss, who got fired, which led to me having a mental breakdown, she told me this story. Maybe I'll say it. She worked at Karl Lagerfeld.
Okay.
And she knew that her male counterpart was earning more than her. And she was like, she was confident. She was Dutch. So maybe that's like, you're like a bit more confident and better at those conversations.
Yeah, a bit more blunt about these things.
And she was like, I'm really disappointed. I think she'd maybe just had like a pay review or something like that. And then she found out that her male counterpart was earning more than her. And she went in and was like quite hysterical, saying like, I cannot believe this.
Mm.
Like, this is unacceptable. Like, if, like, you know, we do the same job.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that's a really hard thing to do. And also, like, I'm now in the role that I do, I'm very much responsible for, like, making or reminding people, don't share your salaries. And so, like...
You have to tell people that.
It's in all their letters.
They're not supposed to share their salaries.
Like, remember, you're not... Like, these are Yeah. Which is like, but it's to protect, like, it's to protect the company somewhat, and it is private information.
But it's private information for they themselves to divulge. Well,
exactly.
Because the idea of people not being able to share their salaries only lends itself to more pay disparity.
And so this is the interesting thing, is I have actually found that younger people, the generation that we sadly are not, they've all discussed it.
Mm.
And they all know, oh, so you're on more than me. Hang on. Mm. Oh, is that because you got a degree and I don't? And they discuss these things and they're quite aware of it. And so I think we kind of grew up still in the midst of like, you don't talk about it. And maybe also like entering the workforce with a bit of shame. And then still even now you're like, but like, have I caught up with my friends that didn't take that path? Like, I think I'm doing okay now, but like, maybe I'm not. Like, who knows?
I think it's empowering for like people to discuss their pay with their counterparts.
Yeah.
I think, especially if they're in the younger generation and they're starting out, if they can understand why they're getting paid the way they are, they can make the necessary career tweaks and career moves and, you know, move into different parallels, maybe, for example, in order for them to get to where they want to go, instead of just like blindly in the dark thinking that, oh, you know, I will finally make money once I am head of buying, head of merchandising, and shooting in the dark, really, because these brands are, it's just a race to the bottom when it comes to pay for them. Like, if they can have you doing that job for less, then they will do that. They will try. Oh God, that's massive. That disparity, I was shocked. I didn't know it was that bad.
And the thing is, it's an important thing to address that disparity at the start. So a gender pay gap, maybe of like 21 versus 24, not too much room to make up there, you know?
Mm.
So I'm actually having conversations in my workplace, which isn't to do with fashion now, at being like, right, guys, these people will essentially do the same job, whether they have a degree or not. I've got a degree. I really believe in a degree being worth something,
mm-hmm.
but they all are doing the same role and we all think they're the same level.
Yeah.
So why don't we level them all out now?
Yeah.
Because why is like one on like one more or two more,
mm.
like level it now. Someone might not get the rise that they want now, but in 5 years' time, when that is a bigger gap, that discrepancy becomes a lot harder to manage.
Mm.
And for someone to go, hang on, how come she's on this and I'm on this? Or the, well, God forbid, it's a woman that's on lower. And then you're like, and it's like, oh, it was all because of a degree to begin with, Thomas.
Yeah.
I think it's important to address that stuff. And my brother once gave me a bit of advice that I always thought was good of like, make sure you, if you can, you go into a job being happy with your salary, because 100%.
Mm.
You will otherwise always be playing catch up.
You're always chasing your tail. Yeah.
So whatever pay rise you get, you'll be happy. But then you come like, I'm catching up. Like I wanted this before. And so if you're always like trying to chase that, you're never going to be satisfied. And it's not always easy. And some people have ludicrous ideas of what their salary should be.
Yeah.
And it's also super hard. Fashion is notorious for not advertising a salary for a role.
It's competitive, babe.
But it is, it's like it's upon request or like, you know, competitive. Like it doesn't tell you. And there aren't many jobs that do these days. But I think it's really important that people do advertise it so people are able to do their research.
Yeah. Yeah.
How am I meant to know if I'm being paid fairly?
I wouldn't apply for a job now that doesn't tell me how much it's paying. I don't waste my time.
Like, how do I know? And like, yeah, and also I kind of want a range that you're advertising to, because I want to know what you think I'm worth in that range.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Like I have the confidence now to be like, tell me what you think I'm worth.
And also it gives you an understanding of what they expect from you, I think. But yeah, I don't see how fashion is going to improve on this. As I say, I think it's a race to the bottom, and I think that it's embedded in the culture of fashion. We've mentioned it before. It's this idea of being, people would love to be in your position. There are not many roles in the UK, for example, of, you know, working at top brands or working at specific brands. A lot of brands do struggle if they're independent. And it's this idea of there is an understanding to some extent that if you're in the fashion industry, you're doing it because you kind of love the industry to some extent. Yeah. And if you wanted to go away and make more money, but do a more boring role, then you would leave the industry. I think.
For sure. I definitely think that's an element. But I think the really difficult thing with fashion is that it's a product-driven thing. So especially if you work in luxury and you see the products that you are helping this company sell mm-hmm. are going for a lot of money mm. and you see how well they're doing, Prada, top of that list, on list.
Mm-hmm.
They reported sales last year of over 4 billion.
Mm.
I think that was euros or whatever, or dollars. Mm-hmm. But like 4 billion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so like we can sit here, and I know it is really hard in fashion. I know it's hard for a company to sustain itself. None of the companies I work for exist anymore. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it was my attitude. But like, it is, yeah, it's really hard. But also, how can it be? 4 billion, and you're so like, you're sat there, you're maybe like an entry level buyer on 21 grand, like renting a room in London, maybe like £800 if you're lucky. Mm-hmm, then you've got bills on top of that. You're probably what, taking home not loads more than that.
Yeah.
How are you meant to live that London thriving life, being in the pubs with your friend, like enjoying life? And then you also see that they're reporting, best year yet, guys, we had sales of 4 billion, and feel like
you're being enjoying the success yeah. of the brand. I know it is, it's such a clash, isn't it? And we don't just see it in the fashion industry, but yeah, it's that what you earn, does it match the illusion and the lifestyle that the industry creates mm. and that you are part of creating? And there really isn't enough sample sales or staff sales
true
that can make up for a shortfall in income. I mean, unless you're buying them cheap and you're selling them on eBay. But that's
unless you've got a family that can support you, but they're gonna have to support you for quite a while.
And that's if you decide to stay in the industry, because will you ever get to that point where you're making money that really affords you to like take a breather and be like, I'm okay with where I'm at?
Yeah. And it's really tough, because I think there are now seems to be a lot of industries. So previously I would say it was like finance and law, where that's like you go into that, you've got to study quite hard. There's a lot of exams involved, but like that's where the big money's at, and they justify that. But there seems to be a lot more jobs that have a like good and decent pay, that it feels like fashion's just not catching up with that. And there's a reason, I think, also in the creative industry, we have seen an influx of freelancers who are like, this is my day rate. This is it.
But then it's like you don't necessarily get a permanent, continuous stream of freelancing jobs. So
it's
a different stress in itself. And you're so right that like influx of like people who are in design or in other functions of fashion within the industry who are freelance, that is tough. I don't even think that you'd be making, well, I think there'd be a select few people who would be making enough money to really be like, this worked out for me, doing this freelance thing. And it could just be easier and simpler to take that pay cut and do permanent. I don't know. But I think that that's definitely been in our like early career, interning and gig economy and freelancing was like a really big topic of discussion, because that's when it really kind of ramped up. Everyone was like part of this new gig economy. And people just finding their feet, especially in like fashion editorial, with like news journalists, writers, editors, and like, you know, writers who write specifically in fashion. It's not like the good old days of Vogue, you know, when you used to hear like people were like jetting off to exotic places and putting everything on the company card, and you could live that lavish lifestyle. That completely got stripped away. And now you have a few kind of like editors in chief. And they just gut out like that kind of the middle of,
there is,
of writers and
there's
stuff.
There's a real issue in fashion at the moment with the middle tier. And I think that's the case in a lot of industries, to be honest. I think you hit a certain age and you're either like, can this sustain me? Would probably be like a fashion thing. Like, come on, let's be like, when you start realizing the kind of life you want, you have to make some decisions to go with that. But also, say it is in law or finance, and you're like, yeah, I can't do this for another 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think
I want a slower pace,
or is this it? I thought I'd want to represent criminals, but actually, like, it sends me home in a mood every day. Like, I think you question certain things, and so I think a middle, like, that's where you see a lot of issues.
Yeah. Let us know what you think about this discussion. What has your experience been working in the fashion industry? Were you happy with your pay and your compensation, or was it really like an area that you just couldn't grapple with? We'd love to hear about people who are still in the industry, as we no longer are in it.
Hope you're getting bonuses and regular pay rises.
Yeah, that's true. Let us know what you think. Comment down below if you're watching on YouTube, or you can email us at styleoversubstancepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on TikTok and Instagram, and we'll love to hear your thoughts. But we'll see you next week, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.